What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. I'm Arjun.
And I am Akash.
We are here today. We decided to break from our normal scheduling because just everything that's been going on in the world in the last week, you know, everything that's going on in the States, obviously, also in the world with the attacks on Istanbul, Dhaka, Iraq, and, oh, crap, there was one other place. But we just wanted to hold space. I think that we wanted to have a community episode. And before we dive in, there was something I just wanted to say about community and community episodes. When we say community episode, it's not because Akash or I believe that we are spokespeople for the community or we know what the community's responsibilities are. We want a community episode means that we want to hear from the community and hold space for the community to be involved in the conversations that we get the privilege of having with our guests and hear from y'all. So I just want to, that might be really clear, but it's important for me to say that as often as possible, just because we are not I'm not comfortable in the role of spokesperson for this diverse community at all. And so I wanted to put that out there as we, you know, this is a complicated, messy, complex issue we're about to dive into today. And I don't know the answers. I really have no fucking clue, truthfully. And I'm not sure, Akash, if you feel differently, but I just wanted to start by saying that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm entirely too stupid and uninformed to be a spokesperson for anything. I think we just want to talk about what we feel, what we know, and then we have space for y'all. And usually you four of you email us, and then the rest of you are useless. And that's all right, because we're just trying to create this space, and y'all will come when you're ready.
Yeah, and we are always looking for better ways to engage the community. So if you guys have suggestions, we welcome this, man. I'm a huge fan of crowdsourcing, and hey, man, let's all do this together. But this has been a hard week. This has been a hard week for the world, it feels like. And I don't know, and maybe the world is always like this every week, and it's hitting me in a different way. But something feels different this week. I don't know. I don't know why. Do you feel the same way, Akash?
Yeah, last week felt different. Even the police brutality felt different. It felt like I mean, I'm going to speak to this later, but I tend to compartmentalize a lot of things because thinking and like actually unpacking everything, it's a lot of pain and it's a lot of like unhappiness that comes with that. And my instinct, it's not good, but my instinct is just compartmentalize everything and be like, all right, well, what can you do? Put it away.
I heard something and I want to just address this right off the bat, and something that I'm really working hard on, and you just did this to yourself. I want to create a no judgment zone here, and you just judge the way that you felt. And I think that we have to be really careful, because I think that part of the problem that we're facing right now is there's far too much judgment, and that doesn't allow us to engage with the conversations we're having with compassion or nuance. And so when you say that you want to compartmentalize because that's not good, I don't know. I just don't feel like that's being very kind to yourself.
Right. Fair enough. But the point is that it was hard to do that this past week. It was just so in your face. Also, it hit me harder because the things that happened in Dallas, that's my city. But it was even before that, it felt like this is different. It felt like, to me, it felt like we're more on the brink of just burning everything to the ground than we've ever been in my lifetime.
It does feel. Well, here's what felt. It just felt like, you know, after Ferguson, I mean, the videos that were available about Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. I mean, I know there was videos of Eric Garner, and I know there was video of Tamir, but these videos felt different because there was, there was no defense that you could argue for these cops. You know, they were so blatant. They were so blatantly, like, not, you can't defend that use of force those videos.
I'm going to be honest, I felt that way about Eric Garner.
No, I mean, I did too, but there were people that found ways to defend Eric, like, defend the police in that situation. I don't know, but I felt like And people can I just felt like with these, there was no way to do it. You know what I mean?
Here's what I will say to that. And again, something I want to address later, but I don't want to argue anymore. I don't want to say there's no way to defend this or there's no way to defend that, because there's people who feel how they feel. And T.D. Jakes had some quote, the bishop, something to the effect of, why can't we disagree while still listening to each other? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's so like, and I'm not saying you were doing this, but there's such a like a culture of you have no ground to stand on. And I do tend to think one side is more right than the other. I do tend to think these are indefensible, but the person who wants to defend them, listen, you have a different opinion than I do, but that doesn't mean we don't need a solution.
No, you're absolutely right. And what I was trying to say, and you're right, and I appreciate that, because what I was trying to say was just that I was hoping that this was going to be a tipping point. I was hoping that we would finally, because here's the thing that's been discouraging, and we talked about this right before we got on the air, and I was talking about it in therapy this morning. I've been in kind of a nihilistic mood this morning. And what I mean by that is just that I've kind of been like, is there fucking hope? You know, and that's me being in Canada in the relative privilege, and I mean extreme privilege that I face, and I'm not black. And I can't even, and I'm this tired? I mean, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what the black community is feeling right now. I really can't. To be honest, I can't imagine what police are feeling like right now, to be like after what happened to Dallas, because Dallas took things to a whole other level, which we'll obviously talk about in a second. But what I was hopeful for was that it would be a tipping point, that something could change after those two, after what happened with Alton and after Philando. And then Dallas happened, and that's when I just broke, because I was like, oh, no. Can we come back from this? Because I just, the cycle of fear that is happening right now and the cycle of fear that we are in is really, it feels really like a strong undertow that I don't know how we get out of right now, to be honest.
And what's more dangerous is, and again, I still listen to a Dallas radio station every day, a sports station, and they talked about this. And what's more dangerous is that we have just created these echo chambers where, like, they talked about the democracy of media, which is a great thing overall. But now you can choose your news source of people who agree with you. So you just create an echo chamber, and I don't know how we don't divide ourselves further every single day. I don't know how we come together on anything, because I'm just going to go to MSNBC if I'm liberal, or Fox News if I'm Republican, or whatever, and find my echo chamber, a bunch of people agreeing with me. I will feel placated, and then we will continue to have the problem.
And that's what I think that and that's what scares me about, and that's what scares me about fear, right? And I've been talking about this. I have this belief. Let me start with this. My friend Wade Alain Marcus he wrote this post, and I thought it was really profound, because he watched the videos and he was talking about the videos, and he talked about the fear that you could see on the faces of these police officers, so clearly like afraid of what they had done and afraid of what had happened. And when I look at that, I'm like, oh, okay. First of all, it humanizes the people, not that they're coming from hatred, right? They're coming from fear, which is still a problem. But I think it humanizes people a little bit more. But also the way he was saying was that, you know, here you have a police officer that was afraid of what would happen because this person was black, right? And then they have a black community that is afraid of police officers because of what's happened. And it's just going to keep cycling. And I don't know. The thing is, when I talk about fear in my, like, when we've talked about here on fear on this podcast, we talk about it's false expectations appearing real. I don't know how to say that to the black community who are like, this shit doesn't appear real. It is real.
Yeah, this is not a false expectation.
This is not a false expectation anymore. And I don't know. So then I'm like, well, then how, and I'm genuinely asking this. I don't know, because I do believe that when we operate from a place of fear, we fail. And if we continue operating from a place of fear as a community, as a society, we will go down to a darker and darker path. I believe that. But I don't know the way out of this. And I would love somebody who can help me with that, because That's hard for me right now.
I have no thorough solution. One thing I would like to see, and this sounds maybe crazy to some people at first, but I mean, hopefully they're willing to listen to my full sentence. I think cops should be paid much better because I think we all, even people who are on the police force's side, can understand that there are some cops who are not very bright. Having said that, we don't really incentivize any intelligent people to be cops because the salary just ain't worth it. If I think in New York, someone told me, and then somebody please look this up and tell me if I'm wrong, but the starting salary for a New York police officer is like $40,000 a year, which isn't the worst I've ever heard of, but it ain't enough for any intelligent person to say, all right, let me put my life on the line. Let's go do that. So you're going to get a lot of people who are there because intelligent people aren't willing to be cops. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that we want to be careful about the word intelligence. Sure. I think it's about...
I couldn't think of a healthier word, but yeah.
Sure. I think
my
that
general
what,
point
what I know
is
what
that.
You're saying is that we don't incentivize... Like, if you go to Harvard, we don't have a lot of Harvard grads coming out of Harvard going to be police officers.
And from what I understand, again...
And it is. I just looked it up for you. It's $41,975 for a rookie cop.
Which in New York City is nothing.
Not much. That's not much.
So,
but can we talk about this, though? And I will. This is a moment where I want to plug CampaignZero.org, okay?
Yeah.
CampaignZero.org is a place. It is a website where I have found concrete actions that people can take on a federal, city, local government standpoint where we can help police institutions reformulate their training, right? Yeah. Because a lot of this, because look, and Jesse Williams says this, man, the data is there. People are disarming and they are stopping white people with guns that are in dangerous positions without killing them every day. There is video of a white man with a gun walking through a park that has full of women and children, and he got shot with beanbags, and no one's dead. Right. And I think that that is... there is ways that shows that there are ways that this can be minimized, right?
Right.
'Cause at the end of the day, whether Alton was wrong, whether Philando was doing something criminal, neither of them need to be dead.
A life is worth a lot.
A life is worth, I love this Dallas police commissioner who's even talking about, hey, maybe we need to think about even whether we chase criminals. Because getting into chases, it increases the possibility of mistakes. Like, I love that this, and that's what's actually kind of ironic, and not ironic's the wrong word, but really unfortunate that this happened in Dallas. This police commissioner has been, I didn't know about him until just now, right? I'm not even going to front like I knew about him. But what he's been doing has been remarkable from
community
a standpoint.
Community policing. He's big on it. I didn't know this. Actually, I had heard the police force is very unhappy with him as recently as like 2 months ago. They were trying to get him out.
Who knows if he's being... I can't speak to that, but I just... I honestly don't... I don't really know where I was going. We wanted to talk today because I think we were both hurting. You know, I'm hurting. I am. And I don't know if anyone else feels this out there, but I feel really powerless, you know? I really do. And I feel like talking to my friends and, you know, talking to, you know, my friends who are black, who are just so tired and so scared and just feel so unsafe. And it makes me sad. 'Cause I don't believe that this is what this country is built upon. I really don't. Like, I really don't think that we were built for people to come and have freedom and be safe, and we've not upheld that, but it is in what we wanted to create, and I want us to try to get that, you know? I really do.
I just want to say one thing, if I can, before we go to the community. I was at this thing called What Now that Viacom asked me to come to. They were pretty clear that they didn't want me to speak, but they wanted me to come show solidarity. So if anybody watched MTV or BET, on Friday night, you'd have seen me sitting in the audience for this kind of community engagement thing of just what can we do. And at one point, they interviewed a detective, a white detective, former detective, sorry, for the NYPD. And there were moments in which he was trying to defend the Alton Sterling thing. Not necessarily overtly, but he was like, look, we don't know all the facts, etc. And the way the audience was willing to, was ready to pounce, I was like, yo, this cop is in an unenviable position trying to defend the people that still pay him a retirement pension to a room full of black people about police brutality. Now, the flip side of that is it would seem every black person is in an equally unenviable position when a cop comes and talks to them, whether it's real or not. I'm not going to try to sit here because I know there's people on both sides. I don't want to speak to that, but I do want to speak to this emotion, whether real or not, is there that the second I make a mistake, these guys are willing to pounce. And that is something we have to acknowledge. And I get the, well, this guy had a criminal record, so blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand why we do that, because like I do, it's easier to compartmentalize than to care about everything. Because there's so many tragedies to care about, it is exhausting and overwhelming and hopeless to think about. But the backlash, whether you think the problem is real or not, the backlash is very real. And it is getting stronger. And that is something now we need to take action on a legislative, a grassroots, human level, whatever, to address this problem, whether you think it's real or not, because the backlash is real and it's happening, and it was my city last week, and it probably won't be my city next time. It could be your city, your neighborhood, your front yard.
I mean, it feels like we're on the precipice of something. And, you know, I've been reading articles where people are wondering whether this feels like the late 60s, early 70s, where that during the time of immense turmoil in our country. And, you know, I can't speak to that, not having lived through that, but from history, it feels like we're in something. And so I agree with you, man. And that segues quite beautifully into, you know, Black Lives Matter and this movement and how we feel about it, you know, and what we are, whether we have responsibilities, and that's something we're going to start exploring. It's obviously something we're going to hear about from the community. I guess we should dive into them first before we talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. You want to take Twitter?
Yeah, I'll start with Twitter. We put out something. We just decided to do this a couple nights ago, so we haven't had a ton of time to get feedback. We put out some tweets last night, got a few responses. This is from at Xanadu X Xaviera. Xavier A, I guess, as a black American, things have gotten out of hand here, but the tide is shifting. We won't keep voluntarily dying. How do you guys personally feel about the Black Lives Matter movement? And do you think having your own interest before any others is bad? Do you guys ever take callers? This is a great community discussion. Real quick, we are still trying to learn how to take callers. If someone knows how, let us know.
I was just doing research on that this morning, actually, in response to that tweet that I saw, and it's still a nascent technology. We're going to try to figure something, because it'd be great to do that. But you want to first respond about the Black Lives Matter movement, and that seemed to be the first question, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know necessarily. I don't have a concrete opinion one way or the other, to be honest, because I just don't know if I'm informed enough to have one about Black Lives Matter in particular. I have always, and this might be something I'm shifting on, but before I was always of the belief that, like, look, if we want to do something, let's do it ourselves. I don't want the help of other people, whatever. But that might be shifting with this. So I don't want to say how I feel one way or the other, because I don't know. I haven't formed a concrete opinion yet.
From a standpoint of, I'm a supporter. I am a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement, because I believe that there are many structural and systemic ways in which the black community has been put at a disadvantage. And great. I feel like it is my responsibility as a person that if someone is being put down to reach out and help. I believe very strongly that all lives cannot matter until all lives actually matter. And if you see black lives are not mattering from a systemic and judicial and economic way, then we are not.
All lives matter thing is, again, I think just a response to compartmentalize, not wanting to feel. But if you think all lives matter, don't black lives matter?
It's something that I have a hard time And again, I'm not going to come from a place of judgment because I don't want to, and I need to practice not doing that because that's something that I'm working
on. I just think the reason people get upset at it is because it didn't get said after the attacks on the Gurdwara in Wisconsin. People weren't like, hey, all lives matter, we need to do something. It seems to be, and again, I get where people are coming from because it's easier to do than to feel. It seems to come from, all right, well, I don't want to care about Black Lives Matter, so here's someone else who died, all lives matter, we're good.
Well, no, my understanding is that the people that feel like Black all lives matter seems to be, they feel like it's an exclusive sort of movement, that by saying Black Lives Matter, it means that only Black lives matter, and that police lives don't matter, or white lives don't matter, or brown lives don't matter. And that's not my understanding of the Black Lives Matter movement at all. I don't think that, I mean, I'm fairly confident that that's not at all what they're saying. They're saying that the Black lives have been, again, systemically, they have been disenfranchised in so many ways that, frankly, no other racial community can speak to in the same way in this country besides Native Americans. Sorry, I apologize to Native Americans, because you absolutely can speak to this. And so for me, it's kind of, and that's where I come to communication. It's like, maybe we're not framing this well, you know, and that conversation needs to keep happening, where we can say, hey, in a gentle way, just that question of like, hey, you're saying all lives matter. Hey, can all lives matter if these don't matter? And I think that there's a lot of images and a lot of great, you know, there's the image of this, you know, someone's house is burning.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood.
Khalid talked about that on MTV.
Yeah. And I think that's been really helpful for me to be able to, one, have a space, have a way of communicating this to people. And then two, you know, just understanding it, you know, I guess I should reverse those order, you know, understanding and then communicating. But, you know, if a house is on fire and the fire truck comes to that house first, it doesn't mean that that house is more important. It's just that that one has the more pressing need. Right. And I think that, you know, I got some backlash on Twitter, as I've been tweeting a lot, you know, where I said I had a
shocking backlash on Twitter. Who'd have thought?
I support the, you know, economic, societal, and physical liberation of Black people in this country. And someone says, well, don't you support that of all people? And I said, sure. But I'm just stating that right now, in this moment in time, it seems that, you know, the Black community is facing this in a very real way. And I'm proud to be an ally of that community, because and this is where I'm going to transition very quickly. We owe a debt. To me, I feel like I owe a debt. I can't say we. I owe a debt to the Black community for me even being in this country. And for me, you know, I know I have Black friends and people that were very supportive on Twitter when I've spoken out about the racial inequalities I've felt in the industry. And, you know, my Black actors, friends who are actors and writers and stuff have been very supportive of that. I just, you know, we couldn't be here as a South Asian community without the civil rights movement. We talked about this with Arthi. We've talked about this with several other guests that will be coming on in the future. And our history is linked with theirs. And I think that we have a responsibility, in my opinion, to support this cause.
Yeah, real quick, I don't want to keep talking because we got more tweets.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all good. I agree with... I agree with you to a degree. We are going to talk about this. We owe them a debt. Arthi's talked about this. Future podcasts will talk about this. But real quick, I'm going to just say I haven't felt the same solidarity from my Black friends, but who cares? You know what I mean? Like, right. Why is that a huge deal? For something smaller, sure. But for feeling like you are under attack from the police force, that's supposed to, like, that's a different issue than I'm not getting the roles I want.
No, thank you for that perspective, because you're right. I mean,
a lot of times we interview people who say, like, oh, Black people so often have our back. I'm going to be honest, my Black friends haven't necessarily had my back. I haven't asked them to, but that doesn't make a difference to me with something like this. And again, whether you think this problem is real or not, the backlash is real enough that we should want to do something. Also, there's something on this subject that Aditi Juneja 3 tweeted us. Hope you've seen the Letters for Black Lives project. I'm sharing it with my Hindi-speaking family members. Letters for Black Lives.com. It seems like they have all kinds of different translations, Arabic, Hindi, whatever. So if that's something you want to share with somebody, please do. At Owen Harper said, when we put out the tweet about a community episode, this is an amazing podcast. If anyone is interested, tweet at them. I'm not sure I'm qualified, but I appreciate them for this. Dog, just talk to us. You might not be qualified, but I damn sure ain't qualified either. So whatever, we talk. There's a lot of idiots on Twitter. And if we think the tweet is really stupid, we won't read it. Probably not going to happen. You can't be dumber than me. At Zarathara, I'm guessing you'll be discussing this. What is the role of South Asians in the Black Lives Matter movement? Ooh, we just did that. Killed it. Again, Aditi responded, we don't face laws that allow discrimination based on race because of the work of the civil rights movement. We have to stand together. Again, we just spoke to that. We're killing it responding to the fans without even realizing it. We get called terrorists and our accents are mocked because of white supremacy. That's what Black Lives Matter seeks to combat. Being treated as a model minority is a problem. Being given permission to participate is not the same as having it as a right.
Say that one more time. Sorry, I missed some of that.
Being treated as a model minority is a problem. Being given permission to participate is not the same as having it as a right. I guess being permission to participate, getting permission to participate, is not the same as having the right to participate. I don't.
So that I'm and this is a question. This is a question to you because that's a big tweet.
Seems like it should make a lot of sense. I can't really break it down in my mind.
You know, is that saying that what we're combating is that everyone should have the right, and it shouldn't be that one community is giving permission to other communities? That's what I'm understanding. I agree. And this goes, actually, if I may, this speaks to, and this is something that that another guest will speak to in a few weeks. But equality versus inequity, and what that means, and I think that's a really important distinction that I've just learned recently, to be completely honest with you, and I'm sharing, and I would like to continue to share because I think it's a really important concept. Equality is the idea that everybody's treated the same, and equity is that everyone's treated with fairness. And the image that we were taught with is, and it's something that I've posted on Twitter. If there are three people that are trying to see over a fence to watch a game or whatever, watch anything, right? Just see over the fence, just period. You have someone who's tall, someone who's medium height, and then someone who's very short. If you give everyone the same size box, the tall person can see easily. The person who's medium height can maybe on their tippy toes see over, but it's a little bit of there's some difficulty. And then the person who was very short couldn't see at all. Right. Now, equity would be we give each person a box according to what their needs are so that they can see. And I think that too often what I hear in response to something like a Black Lives Matter movement is a desire for equality where everyone's treated the same. But the problem is that not everyone is afforded the same treatment in order to, like, already from the standpoint of, you know, as a brown man, I'm going to be treated differently by the cops than a black man who's walking with me. And so we can't have the same box because that doesn't make any sense. And I think that what we need to my opinion is that we should be striving for equity, because as the post said, without equity, you cannot get equality. And so we need to first gain equity so that we can get to equality.
Listen, I agree. Sorry for the noise. I was actually what you said at one point, or what one of the Twitter responses said, reminded me of something Prashant wrote that I would maybe like to read at some point.
Please, yeah.
But next tweet, Zarathara, when you asked what is our role in the BLM movement, Zarathara said, first is simply to understand the movement and acknowledge its significance. Second is to discuss it with family. Neha said, this is interesting, to not stay silent about our role as victims of white supremacy and the form of police brutality, but also as agents of it. So I think she's saying by standing silent and maybe falling into the model minority myth, we are also agents of this, I think, which is interesting.
I mean, she's arguing, you know, bystanders, complicity, that we would become complicit if we are not silent. And I tend to agree. I really do.
And the last tweet that we have that I want to read is actually someone that responded to my Twitter, at HopeAndJJ'sMom78. She said, a vicious cycle. Some police abuse the power and hurt minorities. Then people fight back and police are scared, then react badly. And both innocent civilians and good cops are dying. This has to stop now. I actually think that's really, like, a well put something in two tweets. Because this is something I said the day everything happened. I said, what's sad is that we all saw this coming. I don't think anybody was surprised by the brutality, then the outrage, then the response to the outrage by brutality toward police officers, and then more outrage. And I don't know that it's not going to happen again.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I want to speak to this, and I feel, and maybe I feel a little out of place to say this. And so, Akash or community, I'm open to hearing that I am. The protests are important, but I don't think we solve anything with violence towards cops. Yeah. And I'm not even just obviously the sniper and what Micah Jordan did. I mean, obviously that's needs no words, and that's not not one, just not okay, and two, not helpful. But even, you know, the reports of throwing bottles at cops and throwing rocks at cops. And look, I understand that people are, you know, getting arrested quite violently. You know, but this is where I, you know, I just don't think we get anywhere by violence. And I think that it's important when we're protesting to remember that, as passionate and as emotional as we may get. And again, this is where I feel really out of place, because I can't, you know, how do you contain those emotions? It's hard. That's a lot to ask. But that's something I just wanted to share and say.
No, I agree. I think that's very well said. I kind of want to read this Prashant message, but I don't know if it's something that's always kind of bothered me is when I think that we kind of co-opt the black struggle as our own. He speaks to that. I don't know if I should read the whole thing, because I don't know if that's me serving my own agenda or something that's important, to be honest. But check my Twitter. I've retweeted Venkat ETC. That's Prashant, who's been on this podcast a couple times. He wrote something that I thought was really interesting. I think we tend to want to victimize ourselves as humans. So we kind of co-opt the African-American struggle as our own, and they're not the same at all. So that's interesting if you want to check that out on my Twitter.
Yeah, and I think that there's a way that we can acknowledge that we have struggles without having to say that those are our struggles. Right. You know, I mean, we can it's what I when I talk about intersectionality, right? And again, it's this desire I have for nuance in the conversation. Look, I am privileged in so many ways, and I will, when I think of my, you know, areas of privilege, I am a man, that gives me privilege. I am heterosexual, which gives me privilege. I am able-bodied, which gives me privilege. On a more superficial level, but still important, I'm tall. You know, we have not elected a president who's less than 6'1" since TV. Like, there's this association we have with tallness and leadership. I have advantage there. The place where I feel like I don't is racially. And so it's always important for me, when I think about this, to be aware of the ways, when I talk about being, not privileged in certain ways or whatever my struggle is, it's important to recognize the number of ways in which I do not struggle, you know, and it's important to keep that in mind, because we all have different struggles, you know, and I think that that's important when we're going into these kind of conversations, because that's just the truth. This email is tangentially involved, and so I wanted to, there's one email that's particular for this episode, so let me read that first. Apologies. There's a lot of disagreement. It's from actually a Twitter user, Lexicon Blue, so that's who I would say it's from. There's a lot of disagreement lately on whose lives matter. There seems to be a major misunderstanding of the hashtag Black Lives Matter. The movement has created disenfranchised groups where they didn't exist before. Hashtag Blue Lives Matter, hashtag All Lives Matter. What it really means, they refer to Black Lives Matter hashtag, is Black Lives Matter too. blame Twitter's 140 character limit for the shortened version, but it is implied. Unfortunately, too many people took the phrase to mean only Black Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter more than yours, which then spawned the self-protective hashtags that we see now and the taking of sides against each other publicly. It's meant to be an inclusive phrase, as in, hey, we're flesh and blood too, just like you. Instead, groups feel excluded and become defensive. By using the phrase all lives matter, it's minimizing the importance of the message. It's like saying we didn't need the 15th and 19th amendments to vote because men meant everyone in the Constitution. No, it did not. It meant white men. And all lives matter is not all inclusive. Oof. I'm not the first one to say this, but there's always someone new on social media who needs reminding of the core meaning of the movement. For decades, there was a general feeling that black people dying or struggling did not matter. I think it's more of a criticism on media who cover a white kidnapping with more verve than a dozen low-income people being shot and killed. By the way, I read the article by Neil Padukone on Indians' debt to black America and thought it was a brilliant point of view. I think that's a really well phrased, and thank you for that, because I think that's a really well phrased and a very nuanced understanding of why people are responding in this way. You know, self-protection, you know, and I think that that's important to recognize that in the movement, that black lives mattering doesn't mean that someone else matters, lives has to matter less, or you are going to have less power or anything of the sort. What we thought was going to be a quick episode has turned into longer, so I want to wrap up with this email that we had, which is tangential, to say the least. It's from Swathi, who said we didn't need to read this email, but you know, I actually appreciate this very much. This email, I'm going to paraphrase and summarize for you. It's basically, she's been listening to a lot of the episodes, and she was a little disappointed by the way the Brown Girls magazine and the way that we responded to some of the female issues that those ladies brought up in regards to makeup or hair removal. And she, you know, she said that she recognized a little bit of a pattern in the way that we've somehow been a little bit, at times, as she said, dismissive of female issues. And I just want to say, in re-looking at the way that I was acting during the Brown Girls magazine interview, and I will not speak for anybody else, I feel like, yes, I was judgmental of some of, especially makeup. And I think that my judgment colored my ability to create the kind of space that I would like to be a part of. And so I want to apologize for that, truthfully. And I want to let people know that that's something that I'm going to strive to work towards, being less judgmental and holding space for more issues, because I just think that we need to come together more in all facets of the world, and judgment doesn't allow for that. And so I apologize for my part in that. And I appreciate that email from you, Swathi, so to allow us to try to grow, or allow me to try to grow. I don't want to speak for Akash in this situation.
No, yeah, I've had to learn this being in a relationship. I am a comic when I disagree, and oftentimes I'm just dismissive because that's how we can argue and be very dismissive of each other, and it doesn't really hurt feelings. Normal humans aren't like that. So I'm trying to learn. I still disagree, but I appreciate that she can talk to me when we disagree, as opposed to saying like, oh, I'm never listening again. I do appreciate that. And if she wants
You're
to talk to me,
Swathi.
I will. Yes. And I, if she wants to talk to me further, I will do my best to engage and have a discussion. And yeah, I do. I come across dismissive sometimes. I can't promise it's going to change, but I'm aware of it. And I will, I guess, try to work on it.
And I think that that's something that we're learning, is the way to disagree without being judgmental, you know. And that's something that I'm, you know, like I said, that's a promise I'm going to make, that I'm going to work on that. I want to say this is, you know, and it made me think about this today. I've been thinking about it a lot. I want to invite people that want to get involved in our podcast in a more proactive way. You know, listen, if there is a female out there, it is. It's just me and Akash that are doing this thing. If someone wants to join our team and help out in some way, we'll find a way to get you involved, for real. We
make
have
those
enough
money. That's the main way. If you want to get involved,
settle.
Make a, oh, sorry.
Come
sorry.
On.
Sorry.
What I'm saying, no, but I mean, he's not wrong. But but honestly, if anybody who wants to be involved, male, female, child, adult, who wants to be involved and is interested, whether it's in any sort of way, reach out to us. I would love to add more people to this team so that we can continue to grow. Because I do feel that we will grow more by having the community be involved. So, you know, that's it. That's my plug. Spread the word on that. Maybe there's, you know, somebody that wants to help.
No plugs about rating or reviewing or whatever. Y'all know what y'all can do if y'all want to do it, and if not, that's fine.
Honestly, we just I'm asking everybody. I hope everybody is just really kind to themselves right now. For me, it is a scary time, and it's a scary time, and I want everybody. We lean on each other. Let's have each other's backs, y'all. Let's just have each other's backs, because we're all in this shit together. Let's be kind to each other. Let's try to approach conversations with compassion and nuance and hold space without judgment. Let's try that, because I'm going to try that. And I'm going to fail sometimes, but then I'm going to try again, because I think that's our way forward. I don't know, but I think that's our way forward. We're going to shut this down.
Yeah, my last imploring, you might have covered this by the end. I don't know. I was in my own head. But I implore you to have conversations with people who don't agree with you that are not completely closed off to the other side also. But, like, just have the conversation and let's see what happens.
Amen.
Peacefully.
Amen. We're going to come back. We're going to jump back to regular scheduling next week. We don't know what episode we're going to drop yet, but we will let you know. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this with us. You know, it means a lot to us, truly. So, have a beautiful week. Take care of yourself. And, that was your cue for God bless.
Yeah, no, you usually say I'm Arjun, so we didn't do that. I'm Akash.
And I'm Arjun.
God bless.
We'll catch you next week.
But God bless at the end, though.
Fuck.
God bless. Bye.